Welcome to Spilling on the Rocks. It is Friday, May 2nd, and last night, great win for the Rockies, back-to-back wins. It's the first time this season the Rockies have had back-to-back wins. It was in San Francisco against Justin Verlander. A couple of fun notes about yesterday's game. I'm actually in Pittsburgh getting ready to do a Pittsburgh Pirates San Diego Padres game for Apple TV. You can always watch that too. And so yesterday we saw Kyle Freeland take the mound. He is now the Rockies' all-time record holder for most career starts by a starting pitcher. So that's fantastic to see a Denver native as that record holder. If you watch that game, a couple things that stood out: the Rockies ended up coming from behind. Fantastic. They were losing to the San Francisco Giants, and one of the Rogers brothers. There's two Rogers brothers. There's Taylor and Tyler. Tyler's a submariner right-hander, and Taylor is a left-hander. I believe Taylor is now with the Cincinnati Reds. We didn't see him last week when the Reds were in town. But Tyler Rogers, both kids are from Colorado too. Their parents were firefighters, so they came from like a long lineage of firefighters, which is great. I love the Rogers story. They are fantastic. Pair of twin brothers. You know, they're basically identical except they throw from different sides, and one says he's more handsome than the other. Leave that for debate. So, anyways, the Rockies come from behind. The thing that stood out in yesterday's game is Zach Agnos. So, Zach Agnos now has two career saves, and he has had them both this week. Had it for the win against the Braves on Wednesday, and then had one yesterday. So, back-to-back days with the save. Fantastic. Agnos' story is really crazy. His grandfather got, has the baseball lineage. I believe he played for the Washington Senators. I'll have to double check with that. But Agnos lost his father in 2021 to COVID. He was a college player, and basically lost his dad. His dad was fighting and ended up passing away. Really sad story. We interviewed his mom when they were in town when he made his major league debut, and she just got super emotional. And it was, food for the soul. Because you can understand like the heartache of imagining your son making it to the big leagues and not having an important family member there. So obviously, with a heavy heart, we're watching this guy make his major league debut, and he has this story with him. And he's been a great kid, really great kid. Small in stature, was a two-way player in college, actually had an inning in defensive he played defense at third base in a minor league game. But the story is great. Strike thrower, throws hard, split finger, perfect combo for Coors Field. Talk about this all the time. So I like it. I think the Rocks are starting to get their mojo back. And another big hit yesterday came off the bat of Ryan McMahon. He was 0 for 35, which is a franchise record. Not a good stat to be in. He passed Desi Relaford on Wednesday, and then on his in his 35th at bat, ends up hitting a homer off Justin Verlander to dead center. Really good story. McMahon's been grinding his butt off. But that's another, another case where you think about, what the Rockies have done in the last couple of years as far as not trading. Was Ryan McMahon's value the highest a season ago when he was an all-star? Yeah. Should they have moved on from him? Maybe. Especially if you would have seen the possible packages you could have had for Ryan McMahon. I still think there's a market for McMahon. There's a couple teams out there looking for a third baseman. You have Toronto, you have Seattle. You have a couple, teams out there. Even third base with the Yankees is a possible fit. The Dodgers are looking for a third baseman since Max Muncy just hasn't been good. Defensively, Ryan McMahon's an upgrade over virtually anybody in the sport because I love watching him play. But again, like so many things that are popping up right now with this Rockies team because of the start that they're on to. Is, questioning, well, how did we get here? How did this team get to this spot? One thing, especially now that I'm doing this Pirates game, the Pirates fans right now are infuriated with the ownership. Bob Nutting and the Pirates are just at a crossroads. Like, we're gonna hear tonight during the game a sell the team chant. And whether that's warranted or not, I'm not an everyday Pirates fan, so I can't like actually specifically speak to it, whether I believe it or not. But I will point out that in the last, 15 years that they've had teams, they have not spent much money. Their biggest free agent sign was about 15 years ago for Francisco Liriano. That I mean, like they have been unable to bring people in or spend money. And, as a byproduct, they have a generational pitcher in Paul Skeens. They have some young talent that is pretty exciting. They're also kind of banged up, so it's a little unfair to look at the record and go like, oh, it's the reason why you're here is because you don't spend money. But it's certainly a narrative that is there. They have multiple players that are coming back from injury, and when they do get them back, they're a better team. Regardless, the Pirates have this narrative of ownership just holding and hamstringing him. I think there's some truth to that. I've talked about this all the time on MLB Network Radio. If you've ever heard me talk about the business of baseball, I tell you, winning is expensive. It is not cheap. The average win above replacement. So I know there's people who are going to be like, Spilly, shut up with war. I don't like it. It doesn't matter if you like that stat or not. It's a valuable stat as far as measuring an organization. Teams are looking for players that are better than league average. League average is basically your minor league player making league minimum. So what is the value of a player that is better than a league average player? What is the value of an average major leaguer versus an above or slightly above average major league player? And the number that pops out is about $6 to $8 million for a win above replacement. Okay, so for a better player that helps you win, that's why if you have a player that's making league minimum, but he's a 4 or 5 win player, you are ecstatic. If you're a franchise, you're like, yes, okay, because now I got surplus value. I have a couple, league minimum players that are performing above replacement value. And if you have multiple of those, then you can survive with a lower payroll. If you have 26 men on the roster and they're all above league average, you're great. You're golden. That doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. You don't have every single position filled out within your roster that is above league average. It's just not going to happen, regardless of what your team is or your philosophy. Even the Dodgers couldn't do that. So they find players that can give them a surplus value. They are willing to spend money to have a player like a Mookie Betts, who is going to be, a $28 million player, which is a lot of money. We're not saying that he's not, but then he gives you 6 to 8 wins. So he is above, if you were to go 6 wins times 8, that gives you an idea. So if his contract is $30 million, and he is making he's around $40 million to $45 million in value, then you have a $15 million surplus value. He is bringing you more wins than what you're paying. That's the calculus. That's the number. That's how it works. So in the case of the Rockies, you think about what they've spent. Have they spent money? Yes. Are they, bottom payroll in baseball? No, they're not. Are they getting the most bang for their buck? That is the question. And the answer right now is no. They are not getting the most bang for their buck for an Antonio Sensatella. They're getting nothing, no bang for their buck in the case of Chris Bryant. They're getting really like average bang for your buck when it comes to Kyle Freeland. It's still early. Give it time. I mean, that contract, I believe, is around $15 million. So he has to be better than a 2-win player. You start going through the lines. Ryan McMahon off to a horrendous start, but over time you'll get surplus value with Ryan McMahon. You're certainly getting value right now with Brenton Doyle. You're getting value with Ezekiel Tovar, but then the rest of it, like when you think about the bullpen and Tyler Kinley or Scott Alexander, like you're getting more value from your younger players. So those guys become a possible trade chip if a team is willing to take on that money. So, overall for the Rockies, you look back in the last 5, 10 years, you say the investment of the money that they have made, has it brought back winning players? Has it brought back players that are giving you a surplus value? The answer to that is no, they haven't. They have been like either even or well below. And the Chris Bryant one really sinks them. So in general, when you start thinking about, okay, ownership, changes that are necessary, one of the things that we talk about oftentimes is the low-hanging fruit, which is payroll. Stop looking at payroll. Payroll only tells you one portion of the story. That's the win above replacement part. The other side of the ledger is where I think a lot of teams need to focus a little bit more on, which is player personnel. What are you paying for your front office? What are you paying coaches? What are you paying for medical? What do you have all the technology? Because that is where teams like the Guardians overspend. That's where teams like the Brewers overspend, Blue Jays, the Dodgers are probably the top of the market there, Padres, like all these teams that are doing really well are also spending a ton of money to find these valued players from other organizations via draft, international draft, international free agents, or making trades, bringing somebody in from the outside, seeing what they're capable of doing, and then maximizing their output. That's where the Rockies have to focus on. And somebody asked me the other day, like, hey, Spilly, if you were to look at this current roster, for example, like Jordan Beck is swinging the bat really, really well. Jordan Beck was a compensation pick. So there's a competitive balance pick that the Rockies had back in 2022. That pick was for Jordan Beck. Now, the way that those picks work is bottom 10 in payroll and then bottom 10 in market size. So the Rockies fall in line with that. So they got a compensation pick. They did a good job at drafting Jordan Beck. The other question was, what about the players that they didn't trade? For example, Trevor Story. Now, there's all sorts of rumors out there that when Trevor Story was still a Rocky, come trade deadline, there was the possibility that Trevor Story could have been traded to the Mets, and the Mets would have traded Pete Crow Armstrong. Pete Crow Armstrong ended up going to the Chicago Cubs because the Mets made that deal for Javi Baez. So Baez goes to the Mets. Mets trade Pete Crow Armstrong. Where the Rockies have got the same deal, I don't know. Were the Rockies asking for the same player? I don't know. Maybe. But that has certainly been floated out there. Pete Crow Armstrong would have been a better choice than what the Rockies took with their compensation pick, which at that time, this guy hasn't made it to the big leagues, and that is Sterling Thompson. Sterling Thompson is in the minor leagues. And to give you an idea, I'll show you this compensation pick level just so you know what I'm talking about. So here's Sterling Thompson. Here's the compensation pick. First round, first overall pick was Jackson Holliday. That was a good pick. He still hasn't really performed well. The biggest performer in this draft, there's only been a handful of guys to make it to the big league since 2022, and that's Zach Neto. Zach Neto, Angels did good in the 20, with the 13th overall pick. He's almost an 8-win player. Fantastic. These are the other guys. So out of that entire draft, out of the entire draft, there's only been seven players that made it to the big leagues with a total value of 5.2 wins above replacement. That is not great. So this is a draft that hasn't done well so far, but Jordan Beck made it to the big leagues as a compensation pick. Sterling Thompson is still in the minor leagues. So we'll see what ends up happening with Sterling Thompson. But to that point about Rockies drafts, somebody asked me, Spilly, can you look at the last, all the first round draft picks under the Rockies' current regime? And I said, sure. So I started looking at it, and it is disappointing when you see the first round draft picks that they've had that haven't done much. So first round picks, go back, Matt Rooney didn't make it to the big leagues. Matt Harrington, Jason Nix, teammate of mine, really a couple cup of coffee. Chris Nelson, Chaz Rowe, he ended up playing for a bunch of years with the Tampa Bay Rays. Greg Reynolds, that was a second overall pick. Not a great career. Casey Weathers, Christian Friedrich, the Bird, Tim Wheeler, Pete Thiago, Kyle Parker, Tyler Nevin, Mike Minor, Brendan Rodgers. He actually won a Gold Glove. Was a pretty good player. Robert Tyler, Riley Pint, Grant Levine, and Ryan Rolison. There's no superstar. There's no impact. There's no, these are not players that they use to make trades. So unfortunately, if you were to look at that assessment for this is not good. So again, I'm not pointing out anything that is mean or that is intended to be personal. It's not. These are the facts. These are the facts. These are the numbers. These are the names. So again, like overall, look in the mirror type stuff. So that's where we're at. And for the Rockies, another game against the Giants tonight, then two more in San Francisco. They snapped a 13-game losing streak in San Francisco, which was great to see. I hope to see some wins. I'll be back in San Fran tomorrow morning. And then you have a day off on Monday. Then the Tigers come rolling into town, the best team in the American League, in my opinion. My opinion, better than the Yankees because they play a much better brand of baseball that I enjoy watching. So you can always tweet me at SpillyGoat19 and follow the guys at Mile High Sports.